your uncle, a fisherman who died, the oracle of the Maritimes. Too cloudy to see fireworks, we would ride a chest of drawers into the waves. His granite hand held mine.
Nico, it's great to talk to you on the phone today. Looking forward to your gig coming up on May 11th, Saturday night, here in Bloomington. You're no stranger to Bloomington, but it's been a while at the same time.
It has been a while, and the festival we're playing looks really exciting.
It's really an interesting deal, the way they put it together. You know, sponsored by the university, but they're actively trying to blend, on-campus scholarship with local creativity to kind of cross that town-gown barrier. And you're headlining on Saturday night, along with Parquet Courts and our own Duran Jones and the Indications. Should be a great show.
Excited. I wanted to give you guys a shout-out because, like, the way it's put together and all the stuff looks really cool.
You're out on tour now, off and on, for the last year or so, off of your new album, Hell On. And that's your first production in 5 years, although you haven't been dormant. You did New Pornographers, as well as that great album with Case Lang and Veers, the trio.
Yes.
Your new album, Hell On, was there anything that happened in the 5 years leading up to recording Hell On as sort of changing your perspective on producing the album?
Well, I had done a conference with some friends of mine in Glen. It was the first of its kind in the world. It's called the Women Producer, simply because people don't know that there are, a lot of female-identifying people out there who actually produce records. I mean, producers are kind of taken for granted in a way by the general listening public, but, among musicians, women are not the first people to come to mind. And, this wasn't just for female-identifying people to attend. It was for everybody to come and attend and listen to, a different perspective on producing. And I think that I didn't realize how bad I needed that. And I walked away from it with a lot of confidence that I didn't have before, that I didn't even realize I didn't have, even though I've been producing records for 20 years, It's interesting.
In terms of an artist being in the producer's seat, was that a little more challenging in terms of producers being that second set of ears?
Well, I never do anything alone. And having second or third ears or somebody fresh ears, having somebody who's really familiar with Pro Tools and Logic or, able to know whatever system I'm using, it goes so much faster. And that's kind of what production is like knowing your strengths and knowing when you need help. I know so many talented people. I never got into a band by myself to do something. I got into a band to be with other people. And so making the records is the same. Like, I don't want to do it alone. I want to be here with somebody who's excited about this, who will go down rabbit holes with me or look up the history of, who produced such a... It's a time in your life. It's fun, and it's where you learn, and it's where you make something.
You definitely have a great team of collaborators on this album. On the notes, I see that you tracked some of it in Arizona, but you spent some time in Sweden as well with people involved collaboratively in both places. You also had some really powerful personal news in the middle of the recording, a really bad house fire, and you went in the next day and recorded the title track to the album, Hell On. Your emotions must have really been raging on that day with all that happening back home.
Mostly it was just shock and feeling helpless. I mean, I knew everyone was okay, and really that was the important part. It was at the same time that Puerto Rico had just gone underwater, and after all, just not long after the flooding in Houston, I think that gave me a lot of perspective, and I was just glad everyone was okay. I knew my house was damaged, but, my boyfriend and all my animals were okay, so I was okay, just gonna hold it together. And everyone in Sweden was very helpful and really kind to me, so it worked out. It wasn't easy to be there because your first instinct is to go home, but
right.
Everybody at home was like, nah, we got this. Stay there. There's nothing you can do here.
God is not a contract or a guy. God is in a specified tables, it sets no glass or gables. God is a lusty tire fire. Its bristles scrape and strike the stage. Rock, paper, scissors, rage at mercy on the natural world. My voice is not.
Well, I'm looking at your booklet in the album, and you're actually incorporating some documentation of that fire's damage into your creative work. So it's all a very striking piece. We don't have that much more time today, but I wanted to dig in a little bit in terms of your songwriting process and how that may have changed over the years, but particularly about your lyrics. Just the way they work. I actually consulted my daughter on this question because she's a big fan as well, and we've gone to some of your shows together. But I just asked Karina, what is it that about Nico's lyrics that really draw you in? And we were talking about the poetic and cryptic nature of the imagery and a lot of things from the natural world, yet there's phrases in there that people can personally identify with. Do you think about that kind of stuff consciously, or does it just appear?
Well, sometimes it just appears. Like, there's definitely the joyous kind of free thought part, and then there's editing. And, you know, you use the word cryptic. I'm never trying to be cryptic so much as I'm not trying to be super specific. Because if I'm not super specific, it's easier for people to have the picture made in their mind, but they make it themselves, so it's something that they see. Like, let's say I mention a tree, you know, for me, maybe it's, you know, it's Douglas fir, you know, but for them, it might be like a magnolia tree, and it makes the song more theirs. Does that make sense?
Yeah, it does.
I want people to be able to get in there and wear it, like a vest, like it's about them too, because that's what storytelling is about, I think, for me. Like, you know, you want people to come in and feel invited, and I want them to feel like I truly believe they're smart enough to take part in the story, and that their imaginations are totally welcome, too.
In terms of the strong imagery of the natural world in your songwriting, a couple of things I picked out today from Hell On, you say, I'm an agent of the natural world, I'm not a mess, I'm the wilderness, yes. You obviously have this deep connection to planet Earth, and you're very concerned about it. And I remember seeing you in Clues Hall, where there was a Indianapolis about 10 years ago, a really great visual show that was owls and trees. And whether I'm listening to your music or at a show like that, I kind of feel like I'm out in the wilderness and just open to it. Have you had that connection all your life with the natural world?
Yeah, definitely. I've always been drawn to that and spent a lot of my childhood out in the wilderness, just living in remote places. I would go back and forth from super remote to city, so I feel a good connection between the two, but I always long for the more natural. Get depressed in the city after a while.
Yeah. Definitely. Personally, I can only last in a place like New York City for about a week, and then I just got to get out of there.
Same.
Woke a dog from a running dream in this bad love. Ate a black fly in the cream in this bad love. Bad love. Chipped my tooth on an engagement ring, that's bad love.
Well, we're talking about storytelling, and to kind of wrap up here, you're coming in May, Saturday, May 11th, a concert at Upland. Brewing Company here in Bloomington. And it's part of the Grand Falloon Festival, which is dedicated to the work of Kurt Vonnegut, a pretty good storyteller. Did you read Vonnegut when you were a teenager growing up? What was your exposure to his work?
Never read a Kurt Vonnegut book, but I feel like he's a part of my fabric nonetheless, just because he has so many fans that, you know, and I've read quotes by him my whole life.
Well, as a great storyteller yourself, it's great that you're part of this festival. You know, coming back into Bloomington, where you have a history of performing since the late 90s, I particularly have a strong memory of a Corn Sisters show at the Second Story Nightclub back in the day.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, and there was a tornado coming through not long after. So there was, like, lots of tornado silence going on and a crazy storm.
Well, that
on the radio, they refer to it as the corridor of concern. I remember Carolyn and I thinking that was kind of hilarious.
Well, somehow that just seems like a perfect fit for a show where Nico Case is performing, having a tornado warning.
It's my fault.
Yeah. Well, again, we're looking forward to you getting back. What's your touring band look like these days? Are you still connected to some of your longtime band members?
Yep, John Rawhouse will be there, and Rachel Flotard, who's been in the band on and off. Well, she's never not in the band. She's just sometimes not there, but they'll be there. And then we have a lot of other awesome people, too. And it's the full-size, full band, like the large one with lots of singing and et cetera, et cetera.
Well, this will be great. It's outdoors. It's going to be a wonderful time of the year. A lot of folks in Bloomington really dig your work and have for a long time. So it's going to be a really fine day, and we're looking forward to it.
Thank you. And yeah, I can't wait. I'm very excited.
Are you tired of things going wrong?